Warning, the Chit Show podcast may contain explicit or vulgar material that might not be suitable for work, people with thin skin, or those under the age of 18. You have been warned. Thank you for listening, and welcome to the Chit Show.
Ooh, spicy. You alright there, buddy?
Yeah, dairy.
It's going to be one of those, huh?
I had takoyaki, so it's like the mayonnaise.
Lo siento.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, shisa. Totally forgot to do something. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that all is good with you. I hope you're out there kicking some ass. We hope that you're staying safe and that these trying times will see an end soon. We love you all. Keep it pimpin', pimpin'. All right. Hey, Danny.
What's up?
You know, fuck this. How you feeling?
I'm good. How are you? I'm confused. Is this supposed to be music playing right now?
No. We're gonna start this differently.
Can't just throw curveballs at me like this.
Yes, I can. This is the Chit Show.
Oh man, I don't even have my voice on.
You
just went straight for the podcast. Oh, hold on. Give me a second.
I can do whatever hell I want.
How are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Chit Show for you.
Happy spooky season.
Happy spooky season. To be honest, I don't have a song chosen.
That's okay. That's okay. You could have done My Bloody Valentine.
What?
In my head. You don't dig that Machine Gun Kelly?
Oh my gosh!
Punk rock album that he did.
Oh yeah, you listen to that?
Yeah, it's funny because that one of those songs is on the Tony Hawk soundtrack for the new one. And I didn't know it was Machine Gun Kelly for the longest time. This is a tangent, of course. How you guys doing? Welcome to the Chit Show.
Fuck it.
But yeah, and I was like, I dig this song. It's pretty good. And then I listened to the rest of the album, and it was not very good. It was not very good whatsoever. It's just bad. I think someone put it perfectly, like, you know, it's like if he listened to one Blink 182 album and he was like, got it. Like I know how to be punk rock now. But it's like, it's crazy how Eminem just, you know, fucked him over so bad he had to switch genres.
He had to go from fucking rap to fucking punk.
Yeah, it's really weird. But yeah, it was a trip for sure. But yeah, he released a punk rock album.
Yeah.
And that's been my week. So that's pretty much what I got going.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, I had a hell of a week too. Very long. Very grueling. Yeah. A lot of manual labor.
But, yeah.
Yeah, man.
You spinning too, right?
I did get a gig. I did get a gig. So yeah. It was an interesting week/weekend. And now I'm happy to be doing it here again with my guy.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a song.
Come on now, people. We made it again. Happy Sunday. Happy Monday. Happy Tuesday. Happy Thursday. Whatever day it is. Hey. Some of you know this song. I believe some people call this a white soul. Hey. Oh yeah, feeling good. It's a vibe.
Now my problem is that you played a song mid conversation, and now I'm all fucked up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Shit Show podcast. It is episode 50.
What's up, fuckers?
You know the fucking vibes.
I know, we started. It's a milestone.
It is a milestone. 50. Come on, give it up for us.
What is that, like 200 hours of content?
That's a lot.
I mean,
on,
you know,
average, we're what, 2 hours?
Well, yeah, but, you know, back in the day, you were doing 3 hour, 4 hour podcasts, so.
Was
kind of
really?
Rounding up. Yeah, dude. Wasn't it like the first couple episodes like 3 hours long?
Touche. Well, let's just round it out at about 20.
Yes.
22. And then, so about 100 hours. At least 100 hours of content. So 100 to 150, we'll say.
That's a lot of content.
It's a lot.
Yes.
Hey, I love it. It's fun. It's great. And honestly, it pushes me to look out for things or go searching for things that I otherwise would probably have missed or not have been privy to. So it's great, especially around music. Like, so when it comes down to music, oh man, this show has really helped me, you know, find some new stuff, check out, you know, continue to stay updated with the artists I love, and even find, you know, get into some that I wasn't really into before. So,
yeah. You know, and just sit down, have a conversation.
Exactly.
About stuff.
About stizzuff. As you know, guys, I am joined by my freaking younger brother, the president of this podcast network that we're working on at Podcast Network, and my co-host. It is Danny, a.k.a. Danko. What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Like I said, I thought we were done with the pleasantries in the beginning of the episode, but I guess, yeah, I'm doing great.
Thank you. Thank you for being the co-host. I didn't ask
no, thank
how you. Were.
Thank you for having me.
I don't give a shit how you are anymore. I already found that out.
Nah, it's cool. I didn't, you know.
Kiss my ass, dude.
It's my first day. Kidding. It's my second day out here. So.
I love you, man. I love you. You're the best.
How are you doing, though?
Doing great. We're doing great. Actually, yeah, like I was saying before, just working real hard, excavated a damn side of like a hill up in Echo Park.
Oh, you an archaeologist now?
Kind of, except we weren't looking for any like dinosaur bones or fossils or anything. We just wanted the dirt. We were hoarding the dirt.
Oh, amazing.
It was crazy. It was like fucking, we had to take this dirt and take it from one area and transport it to another on this top platform and then shovel it little by little into this little pulley system that we set up that went down the staircase that was like 200 feet to the bottom.
Whoa.
And fucking this little pull, nah, maybe like 100 to 150 feet. Anyway,
okay.
And then like this pulley system we would take this little container and they'd receive it down at the bottom of the staircase and then they would dump it into this little wooden chute that we created that would then take it into the back of a truck, a dump truck. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 3 fucking days. We knocked that shit out the park.
There you go.
We're not completely done. We filled up the truck, so we couldn't put anything else, so we had to call it quits at that point. But we're going to be going back sometime this week and finishing up, but it was very interesting and very tiring.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But I like the
hard
money.
Hard work.
Yes, I like the money. Yeah, shouts out to the 2020 Fire Prevention crew. Y'all the best.
Yeah, shouts out.
So yes, guys, this is the Chit Show. Welcome to the Chit Show. Again, thank you all for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends, and thank you for just vibing with us every week. Again, just a reminder, if you're not a Patreon supporter yet, go over to Patreon, become a supporter, get access to all that bonus content, playlists for music that we talk about on the show, when I get swag going, which I really want to do very, very soon, possibly by the holidays. But, yeah, really want to get some shit out to you guys. Thank you for supporting. And head on over to patreon.com/chitshowpodcast to support. $5 a month. Not that big of a deal.
Do it.
It's less than one, like, fucking fast food meal.
Yeah.
You know?
Travis Scott meal, $6.
Boom.
Patreon, $5.
Boom. Dude, what is going on over there? Like, they don't even really do anything super crazy.
Oh, I don't know. They're the new Fortnite of fast food restaurants now.
Because now they have the J Balvin.
Yeah, the J Balvin.
Which is like
meal.
A Big Mac with an Oreo McFlurry and like it's not even anything. They're not really doing anything. Like the Travis Scott is what, like a fucking quarter pounder with cheese and bacon?
Yeah, it's just like a mix and match of what's already on the menu. Which they just slapped on the whole J Balvin, here you go, dale. And it's just a meal, dog.
I don't know
how much it is.
I mean
it's a Big Mac, dog.
And there's merch being sold with it and shit. It's like, really? You're basically paying for a preference. You're literally paying for a preference. You're just like, okay, superstar, I want to know what your favorite items on the menu are. Well, this, and that. Cool. Slap it together. We're going to sell it like that. Oh, great. So can I get the number Scott or the, you know, no. I want the number Balvin. I'm going to get the number Balvin. What's up? What are you going to say?
Cactus Jack sent me or El Señor Balvin sent me, you know?
Dude, did you see that one video that some dude posted? He's like, man, I got the Travis Scott thing, but I don't see no Travis Scott. I don't see him on here. I don't see no Cactus Jack on the cup, or you know, like when I open up the box for the burger, I don't get like a yeah, like a it's lit.
Yeah, there's not like a little Happy Meal toy that goes with it, you know. But like if artists should team up with any fast food joint, like I wouldn't have picked McDonald's as the one to go with. Like I would have picked like Wendy's. Wendy's does crazy stuff all the time, like, and they're always the best. Of course their Twitter account is popping, whoever's running that is like the best. But like I just had their their bacon pub burger.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's a bacon pub cheeseburger from Wendy's, right? And yeah. It comes with a pretzel bun.
Yeah.
So it's like super tasty. Comes with some very delicious pickles.
Are you really selling Wendy's right now to the people?
I'll do it. I'll do it more every day. I'll do it every day. But you can get it with a beef patty or a chicken. What is it? A fried chicken.
They do that.
Little chicken thing.
They do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has like a beer cheese sauce. It's perfect. I would, if I were a rapper, like I would go with Wendy's over anybody because they got their they do the crazy stuff all the time, you know. That's just my take.
Like you go to Carl's Jr. and the Kanye Western bacon cheeseburger meal, dude.
Oh my god,
that would get bought up so quickly. The Kanye Western bacon cheeseburger, only at Carl's Jr.
What would be the added twist to the burger to make it a Kanye Western burger? Just like a sticker that says vote Kanye. Oh, you get some Yeezys with your meal? Ooh.
Oh, you get a fun fact about fuck it.
Like a Snapple fact, but Kanye fact.
You get like a Kanye fact. You know,
like he's the modern Shakespeare of our time.
Like Harriet Tubman didn't free the slaves. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
Fucking, yeah. So, I would get behind that. Yo, shouts out to Wendy's, but your breakfast sucks. There's one good thing. There's one good thing.
And it's a burger.
And it's basically a burger, but sausage.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell else they're doing.
Nah, that chicken thing is terrible. The fries are good. The little breakfast wedges, when they're made properly, are delish. But, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Fucking, hey, welcome to the Chit Show. That's how we do it. Tangents about fast food.
I mean, you know, It's necessary.
Let's jump into the shits, guys. Some shits was going down in the world, and we gonna talk about it. First off, shouts out to the motherfucking Lakers winning the NBA championship.
Yeah. We Heat go played for a hell of a game.
I did not watch it. I was preoccupied getting everything prepared for this show.
And of course.
Watching things and stuff like that.
They did their best. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's crazy too to go from the previous game to this game. Like, homeboy, you know, misses a shot or whatever. Doesn't, you know, he's getting death threats in true LA sports fan fashion.
Oh, Danny Green?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's getting death threats and all this shit, and everyone's pissed off at him, and da-da-da-da-da-da. He can now rest easy now that the championship has been secured.
If I know Dangerous fans like I know Raider fans, Lakers is probably up there as well with some of the most toxic fans I know. Because, yeah, Danny Green was getting a ton of shit because of that last game. And people were like talking shit about him because he's on his phone playing the speaker. And then all of a sudden it's just like disappeared. You know, it's just like that. Oh, you won. You know, yep. Like Danny Green, MVP. But like 2 days ago, you were talking about how terrible he was. This is, you know, it doesn't make sense.
Well, shit. Congratulations to all the Lakers, the Laker players, the Lakers staff, Laker fans. And fans of all the players and whatnot too. Like I'm quite a fan of LeBron James. I think LeBron James is a great guy and a phenomenal player. And that's like my thing with like the NBA. I don't really have a team. I kind of just like watching basketball. I just like watching basketball. I think it's a great game. I think it's a great sport. And it's a lot of fun. And it's great to watch. It's really entertaining to watch. Same thing with hockey. Like I'm big into hockey. But,
yeah, I stopped when the Jazz stopped playing, so, No.
So, yeah, congratulations to the Lakers. They won it. It's in the bag. Season is over. And let's hope we can get back to some little bit of normalcy for the games next year. But who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? Today is also a great day. First and foremost, it is an amazing day today because today is National Coming Out Day, ladies and gentlemen. Happy National Coming Out Day.
We're all strong individuals.
Yes, this day is recognized to just acknowledge and see the strength and the struggle and acknowledge the struggles and the things that people go through with working towards and building up to when they come out, you know. I've seen some people kind of say like, oh, I kind of don't like this day because it kind of, you know, it almost forces coming out onto people, like people just need to do it or do it already or what have you. And it's not, I don't think it's really that. And I've seen other advocates and people in the LGBTQ plus community say kind of like, oh, it's not all about that. It's just acknowledging this one day of all the success stories. You know, we're not trying to force people to do it. We're just trying to acknowledge those who have and highlight the struggle and what everybody has gone through, you know, to kind of help people. Mm-hmm. And when someone comes out, it's their journey. It's on them. It's their time when they feel it's comfortable. And happy National Coming Out Day. I know I've been involved in an event before. We did some audio for a National Coming Out Day event in Hollywood. That's actually where I got to meet Billie Eilish. We met her and her brother. And their dad. And she performed along with this other group. I totally forget what they were called. They were great. We were part of this event. And it was a really cool event. And I that's when I learned about that. I didn't even know it was a thing. I learned about National Coming Out Day that day. That fucking day. Because of that event. And now I know about it. Now I acknowledge it. And we celebrate those who have found the strength to be themselves out openly. Who they truly want to be and are. It's a pretty hefty Sunday. There's a lot to celebrate this Sunday, man.
Yeah.
It's not to fucking celebrate. Shouts out, guys. Hey, hell yeah. Dude, there was some things happening this week, I'll tell you. I guess there was a UFC fight last night. And, dude, I'm not big on UFC. Not super huge. It's not that I don't enjoy it. I'm just not super heavy into it. If it's on and it's and I'm around, I'll watch the hell out of it, of course. Same thing with, like, boxing. I enjoy boxing, but I don't, like, actively follow it. It's just, you know, it's nice to watch when I'm around it and happen to be around it. But, dude, the freaking internet lost its motherfucking shit with this UFC kick. This dude kicks the motherfucking shit out of this guy. I don't even know if was this a title match. Let's see. Oh. The craziest KO ever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was considered the craziest KO ever. A roundhouse kick that just levels this dude. Oh. It's gnarly. It was. Oh, my gosh. Let's do this. A 26-year-old American is credited with the most unbelievable KO in UFC history after unleashing a jump spinning back kick. Joaquin Buckley is the name of the fighter. He was fighting Impa Kasanganai, I believe. Or Kasanganai. But yeah, they were fighting in this UFC at Fight Island Festival at the Flash Forum on Yas Island, Abu Dhabi. Last night, Saturday, October 10th. The other man, Kasanganai, appeared to have control midway through the second round of the middleweight bout as he caught one of Buckley's kicks. It's pretty dope video, actually, because he kind of like goes for the kick, dude blocks it. He almost like kind of quickly, like you see him like assess the situation and just kind of like plant his other foot. And then just, like, just jump and deliver this spinning fucking back kick. And he landed on his feet. Like, he didn't fall over. Yeah. He completely held balance and stayed standing after that. And then you just see this dude just, like, wobble and
KO. Yeah, he was out.
It's amazing to see. It's fucking dope. We don't really talk about sports a lot on this podcast, but that was a fucking dope kick. And I got to give it to the guy. That's... Obviously, people are making a big deal about it because you do see some stuff like that before, but just like, man, it was like perfect.
The fact that he stayed on his feet is the most impressive part because he just whips it. It's just
fucked him up.
Yeah.
Woo. So, yeah, that was it. He was out definitely the end fucking fight. Fucking knocks him the fuck out. And secures the win. Shouts out to this dude, Joaquin Buckley. Best KO in the history of UFC. That's saying something. UFC's pretty badass. UFC took a lot of boxing's flair. So, there's that. Fuck yeah. Check it out, guys. Jump on YouTube. Just check it out real quick. All right, ladies and gentlemen, jumping into the fucking Tory Lanez and Megan Thee Stallion fucking bullshit debacle on Tory Lanez's part. Tory Lanez has officially been charged. You dick. You asshole. Per CNN, Canadian rapper and singer Tory Lanez was charged Thursday with shooting Megan Thee Stallion. Los Angeles County prosecutors said Lanez, whose legal name is Daystar Peterson, is facing one count of assault with a semi-automatic firearm and one count of carrying a loaded concealed firearm in a vehicle, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office said in a statement. It's finally time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know a lot of people are probably saying, what took so long? With high-profile cases like this, you really gotta dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure all ends are tied. Like, you got everything figured out as best as you can with your investigation. You can't, like, these people are, unfortunately, celebrities. And not unfortunately celebrities, but unfortunate in that, you know, regular Joes probably wouldn't get as much deep attention to detail happening to them. But it is what it is, or I could be wrong, who knows, but usually that's the reason, you know, money talks.
Yeah. And, you know, and his arraignment is on Tuesday.
Tuesday, so he gets arraigned.
He could face up to 22 years, which is crazy. But, you know.
Yeah, if convicted on both charges, Lane could face maximum of 22 years and 8 months in state prison. Ooh. And I heard some good points brought up that, like, you can't say that you don't want to talk about it, or you can't talk about it to people, or, you know, address it to the public, you know, the court of public opinion, and then turn around and make a whole fucking album about it. Like, that's not how that works. And he really hasn't helped anyone really believe that he's innocent in all this, because he completely he's claiming innocence. Mm-hmm. He's saying that's not what happened, and that he's innocent. So we'll see, man. Every single way that he has not acted like an innocent man at all. And who knows? We'll see. We'll see shortly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to find out. And they're going to decide. So, Tory Lanez. Yeah. I say it all the time.
Right.
You keep coming back to this. I don't believe you, bro. I don't fucking believe you, Tory Lanez. And I'm going to say, hopefully I'm wrong. No. Eh, that's hard to say.
No, I don't know.
I'm hoping I'm not wrong. Because fucking Megan deserves some fucking justice. That's bullshit, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, I just don't see any reason. I don't see any fucking reason. But according to him, the truth's going to come out. So whatever, fuck him. For now. Speaking of other crazy shit going on in the fucking world, there was a plot to kidnap the motherfucking governor of Michigan.
Whack.
Dude, this is some, like, 90s action thriller fucking shit. Like, I expect, like, Sean Connery and Liam Neeson to be in this or something like that.
See, I was going to go with the Patrick Swayze Keanu Reeves combo, but I like the Sean Connery one too.
So the Michigan kidnapping plot and what's fueling right-wing extremism. This is an article from NPR. So the FBI announced Thursday that it had thwarted a plan by far-right militia members to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and charge 6 men in relation to the plot. The plot began as a talk on social media sites, with a group of men gathering on Facebook to share anti-government reaction to Whitmer's coronavirus restrictions and shutdowns. Fuck, dude. Over the coronavirus. And do what with her? They were going to kidnap a governor and do what with her? Over the fucking coronavirus restrictions and shutdowns? Really?
6 people?
Apparently there was like 13 total involved. In some way or another. From the ages of like 21 to like 60, I think. So let's see. This is just some shit about Trump's bullshit fueling all the stuff. While these men have been referred to as members of a militia, that term has also resurfaced a debate about whether groups like this should actually be referred to as domestic terrorist groups, which they should be. They Yes. are a domestic terrorist group. They're not a militia. They threatened, they were attempting, going to attempt to kidnap a fucking state official, a governor of a state.
Yeah.
That's fucking, dude, that's tyranny. These
far right people, man, they think they can do anything they want. They just think that they're untouchable. I don't get what was the plan after that? You're gonna kidnap her. What then? Like,
exactly.
What are you going to do? Well, you're gonna, okay, we've kidnapped you, and we're not going to let her go until she says what? That she's uplifting the restrictions? Get your full... Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. There's no logic.
Yeah. So on Thursday, the world learned that in the months since these protests, 13 men with links to the militia movement had allegedly been involved in a plot to kidnap Whitmer from her vacation home on the west side of Michigan, try her for treason, and overthrow the Michigan state government.
Oh, and then get overtaken by the United States military. Yeah. Got it. Ridiculous.
The criminal complaint unsealed by the FBI on Thursday morning said six men surveilled the governor's vacation home twice in an alleged attempt to kidnap her and were incensed by her power, saying she has no checks and balances at all. She has uncontrolled power right now. That is such little dick energy. Yeah. that is the smallest of dick energy that I've ever heard. Oh my gosh. She has too much power. Oh no. Well, now they're all going to do some fucking hard time.
You know, one of the comments was, now they can use the prison gyms for free.
There you go. Talk about white privilege. Yeah. Well, shit. Well, fuck them. Oh, yeah. Stupid Michigan quote-unquote militia men now. The Michigan domestic terrorists. What's up?
No, I was just like, you have a button for that where you can just press it. Tell them to go fuck themselves.
Go fuck yourselves. That's great. Yeah, that's the craziness that was going on in the world, guys. That's all I got for news. It's fucking nuts. A legitimate fucking plot to kidnap a governor. Dude, that's fucking wild. That's wild. Well, speaking of white people doing crazy shit, Bill Burr was hosting Saturday Night Live, guys. So, what brought me to watch the Saturday Night Live from this weekend was actually Jack White's performance and Bill Burr being the host. I was like, oh, shit. Well, no, I found out. Okay, we'll get into it. But Bill Burr was hosting this weekend, and then I heard that Jack White was replacing the dude that got kicked from the slot. That's the musical guest. We'll get into that a little bit. But I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So I actually watched a whole episode of fucking Saturday Night Live, and I hadn't done it in a really, really long time. So it was a nice little treat. It's a nice little treat. And Bill Burr, for those of you who don't know, is a comedian. Not only that, he's a very edgy comedian. Like, yeah. He doesn't mince words. He's from, like, East Coast, Massachusetts, you know, fucking, you know, just kind of like you think of a man from Massachusetts, the stereotypical fucking like angry man, Bill Burr. That man you will think of.
Mm-hmm.
So he hosts, and he's a comedian. Now, naturally, his opening monologue is going to be probably a quick little stand-up sesh. Well, he definitely ruffled some feathers.
Oh, yeah.
And allegedly had a pretty divided crowd when it came to his opening monologue. And he allegedly ignited a Twitter firestorm for mocking everyone from white women to gays in his first Saturday Night Live monologue. This is from the New York Post. The Netflix star referred to white women as his bitches while claiming they had somehow hijacked the woke movement. Yeah. So the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities. Somehow white women swung their Gucci booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line, said the creator of Netflix animated show F is for Family. I've never heard such complaining in my life from white women, Burr said. He made fun of gays, too, suggesting their struggle has been nothing like racial minorities. Basically, he made a comment, the month of June is Gay Pride Month. That's a little long, don't you think, for a group of people that were never enslaved? Burr said, how did they get all of June? The black people were actually enslaved. They get February. They get 28 days of overcast weather. How about you hook them up with July? These are equator people. Fuck. Oh my gosh. He got fucking roasted on Twitter about it. Bill Burr is trash and has always been trash. Jokes were in poor taste, not funny. As a gay man in an interracial relationship, we were both offended and turned the channel. Who approved that monologue? Yeah. People were pissed.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like they knew.
Of course they did. I mean, everyone knows what kind of comedian Bill Burr is, right?
Yes.
He's very out there, and he can get very offensive at times, and so SNL knew that. They knew that he was going to be out there and that he was going to have, like, this kind of, like, I wouldn't say outlandish, but I would say a very controversial monologue, because it's fucking Bill Burr.
Yeah, that's absolutely what he's known for.
Yeah, and he has been canceled. What, again? Is he getting canceled again?
This is true.
Because he's continuously gets the flack just for how his comedy style is. And so I think he's used to it too. Like, this, I could see why people are offended. I mean, there are some jokes that are like, okay, well, yeah, that's pretty offensive. Like,
yeah,
but it is Bill Burr. But SNL knew for sure.
They definitely knew. I know someone made a comment like, who approved this monologue, and it's like, they did. They mm-hmm. knew what they were getting themselves into when they asked them to do it. What do you expect from Bill Burr? Is almost my stance. And he's in the class of comedians that just say it like it fucking is. They don't mince words. They're the kind of like painted as the bitter, just just comedians. Dave Chappelle mm-hmm. is one of those. He gets flack and has these very offensive jokes too, and he's told people the same, like, just like Bill Burr, like, you can't say shit anymore, we're comedians, this is comedy. And I'm not surprised that this happened. The episode itself was all right. It definitely started a little slow. There were some parts that were great. There was a Samuel Adams commercial where they were basically like, it was a commercial for this new, like, pumpkin ale, and they have all these, of course, generic fucking actors there, like, tasting it, like, this tastes so great, and this is perfect for sweater weather. And fucking Bill Burr and one of the other dudes, I think it was, like, is it Frankie Day? Something Day? I don't remember. Fucking one of the cast members for fucking SNL, they're basically this whole, like, stereotypical Bostonian fucking father and son just, like, cursing at each other and shit, the thick ass accents. That was a great skit. They fucking had the like Weekend Update was really fucking hilarious, of course. And it was overall an all right episode. Definitely check it out. It was interesting. There were some that were kind of just a little bland, but mm-hmm. And then the cold open that they did for the VP debate was all right. It was kind of crazy. It was basically this stuff where Jim Carrey came back as Joe Biden and he turned himself into a fly, like Jeff Goldblum does in The Fly, to mm-hmm. fly on fucking Pence's head and somehow disrupt him during the debate and blah 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 blah. And then they had Herman Cain. They had Kenan Thompson as Herman Cain. like a second fly lands on his head, and it's Kenan Thompson as Herman Cain. And I was like, holy shit, like people are gonna might get a little offended by this because Herman Cain's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He died. So I see that ruffling some feathers on the right, and you might hear about it on Fox News if you haven't already. But yeah, check it out. I was interested. I remember I used to look forward to Saturday Night Live. I used to watch it a lot. And I was just like, you know what, let me check it out. Of course, Jack White was the fucking special guest musical artist. He freaking crushed it. We will get into that for music, actually. But there was actually some controversy surrounding the musical artists who the original pick for musical artist. The original choice for this weekend Saturday Night Live music performance was actually Morgan Wallen. Sorry, let's see. Following three at-home episodes this past spring, the October 3rd episode marked the first live show in 7 months. That was last weekend. SNL's return has come with strict safety protocols to prevent a COVID outbreak, and that includes restrictions for hosts and musical guests. After videos of him partying without a mask surfaced online earlier this week, SNL canceled upcoming musical guest Morgan Wallen, who was set to make his debut on the October 10th episode. That was this past Saturday. So I guess this happened last... Oh, yeah, no. October 2nd, SNL announced that Wallen would be the musical guest opposite host Bill Burr. He celebrated the announcement. And then one day later, so October 3rd, he attended a University of Alabama football game and took his celebratory mood too far. Multiple videos of Wallen began popping up on TikTok showing the country singer partying closely with students without a mask and even kissing some co-eds.
Oh, no.
Well, it looks like some people burned him, too. This person posted a video on Twitter. It said, "Hope you don't have COVID, bro. And I hope everyone you're working with this week knows how you spent your weekend. Think about all the workers at NBC SNL who aren't rich and don't have a choice but to do their job. Hope your big day goes great, though." Oh, and then posted a video of him just like flipping off the camera and taking video with people. No mask. So, yeah. So after multiple outlets began sharing the videos, SNL canceled the upcoming performance, and he had to issue an apology, and they quickly replaced him. Oh, no, October 9th. So, yeah, the day before, basically, they announced that Jack White would be taking on for him.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you can't go wrong with Jack White.
You can't at all. You can't at all. And I think it was a good move. But, dude, I mean, that's what, you know, what do you expect? If you, you know, it's, I'm sure that it wasn't a mystery that they had strict guidelines.
No.
It wasn't a mystery. And, I mean, if you want to make it in the business, you got to play the game. And you can't go around fucking up your bag like that. And second, you can't go around fucking possibly spreading COVID like that. All over people and shit. Nah. Out at, like, fucking football parties? Really? Ugh. Fucking country artists, I swear.
Yeah, jeez.
I'm immune to the COVIDs. You can get that shit. Anyway. Yeah, that's going to do it. So SNL was great. SNL was all right. It was enjoyable. I'm happy that I watched it. And, yeah. Twitter was also fucking pretty buzzing around this movie that's coming out called Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Have you heard about it, Danny?
I've seen a little bit of the trailer.
Have you?
But please enlighten me. I know I didn't get too far into it.
It looks pretty good. I see that, I guess, in honor of National Coming Out Day, the first trailer came out today.
Oh.
It's a 20th Century Studios film. The film stars newcomer Max Harwood in the title role as a teenager with the ambitions of being a drag queen.
It's gonna be a musical.
When Jamie announces he's wearing a dress to his school prom, he faces a battle of overcoming prejudice and learning to be himself. As Jamie faces uncertainty, the one thing he knows is that he is going to be a sensation, so he learns how to put his drag persona together and stages a drag show. As Jamie says in the trailer, I don't just want to be a drag queen, I have to be one. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Stars Richard E. Grant as Hugo / Loco Chanel, and Sarah Lancashire as his mother, Margaret, who accepts her teen son for who he is. The trailer features British drag performers Myra Dubois, Anna Phylactic, and Son of a Tutu, who also make guest appearances in the film. Lauren Patel, Shobna Gulati, Ralph Ineson, Adil Akhtar, Samuel Bottomley, and Sharon Horgan also star. It will now be, due to coronavirus pandemic, it will now be released on February 26, 2021. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everybody's talking about Jamie.
I mean, I'm down for another musical, man. They're few and far between nowadays.
It looks really good. I saw the trailer, the whole trailer, nothing but the trailer.
Yeah,
it was good. No, it was very enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it. I definitely want to check this movie out. Looks pretty good. Looks awesome. So thank you, Twitter. Thank you for going crazy about that one, because I'm actually looking forward to that. It's very unfortunate. I was hoping for like a couple months from now, you know, on a streaming service, but nah, they pushed it to 2021, which I guess is smart. As if the anticipation isn't big enough right now, wait till it builds some more. So fuck yeah. Moving on in TV movies, ladies and gentlemen. Resident Evil movies, they just don't stop. They just keep going, and if you can't go forward, go backward. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, the cast for the Resident Evil Origin movie has been announced.
What?
What? What are you doing? Back up. What is your problem?
I'm just kidding. I personally have not seen all of the Resident Evil movies.
I mean, who has?
I don't care for it, really.
The first three, take that back, the first two are all that matter, honestly.
Okay.
But, I mean, it brought in, like, $1 billion in the entire franchise. So, like, I get it. They want to do some more. Going back to basics, pretty much. It'll be more heavily based on the games themselves, because I know, like, the original Resident Evil, it didn't really go with the games. It was just like its own thing.
Yeah.
Like it had characters, like it had Nemesis, it had all that, but it was like a completely different iteration of Resident Evil, where this dude, who's actually the director of Constantine, one of my favorite like non-official Marvel movies, with Keanu Reeves, of course, good movie.
Absolutely awesome movie.
He's behind it, and the casting looks interesting. I mean, some interesting picks for sure. So, yeah, I'll give it a chance.
Let's see. Johannes Roberts announced the cast for its Resident Evil origin story set in 1998. Damn, these freaking pop downs. Set in 1998 on a fateful night in Raccoon City, the Resident Evil movie will star Kaya Scodelario, who was in Maze Runner, as Claire Redfield, Hannah John Kamen, Ant-Man and the Wasp, as Jill Valentine. She was in Ant-Man and the Wasp? Oh, she was the frickin'... Yeah, she was the one that could phase in and out.
Yeah, she was the evil one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. She's gonna be Jill Valentine... Robbie Amell from Upload as Chris Redfield. I vibe with that choice.
Yeah.
Tom Hopper will play Albert Wesker. I kind of vibe with that too.
You know what? I don't.
You don't?
You know, if I were to have anyone as Wesker, it would probably be Neil McDonough, who is also on the list. He just kind of looks like Wesker more, but, you know, I don't know. But I get it. Tom Hopper's got a lot of hype right now because of Umbrella Academy. So good on him for picking up another role.
This one was people really made a fuss about, which was, is it Avan Jogia? Avan Jogia?
That's weird too.
People, yeah. He's going to be Leon Kennedy, and people were not okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be mean, but I mean, Leon, you know, Leon, we're talking Leon Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, pretty boy of Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. You know, he's not as pretty as Leon. And I just like, that's just from a personal perspective. Like, could have gotten someone else who was like, who I could see being pretty boy Leon. Okay. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird pick. You know, like that's like Seth Rogen as Iron Man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird to me.
Oh,
but that's just an opinion.
Well, looks like they've got their cast pick. People are up in arms. There's been a lot of mixed feelings about it. But yeah, they're gonna do what looks like a prequel. It sounds like they want to try to stick to the games more. Some people don't think they will. I believe it is still the same studio that was involved with the other Resident Evil movies. And some people have said, like, fuck that. They know that she wasn't created yet, but if Mila Jovovich isn't in it, they're not watching it.
Which is weird.
Is it?
She kind of became the poster of just, like... Because Resident Evil was in that kind of Fast and the Furious kind of groove where they were just pumping out movies like no tomorrow. But, I mean, it's going to be an 8-episode series, so, like... it's going to be on Netflix. If Netflix is behind it, it's probably going to be very well done. You know, like The Witcher was pretty good for what it was, you know? And I have some faith.
Okay.
So, I mean, hell, 8 episodes, man, of Resident Evil on top of the animation coming out that will be connected to the game.
Oh, that's just like Afterlife or something like that? Or
Darkness... Yeah, like After Darkness, I think, or something.
That
so,
looks good.
Like, we're getting a ton of Resident Evil stuff, and I'm for it. You know, Resident Evil Village is coming out. Like, I love it. We're in 1998 again.
Hell yeah. They said we couldn't travel back in time, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing the damn thing. Well, speaking of blasts from the past and traveling back into time... Ladies and gentlemen, there has been an alleged talks to revive, to add on to a classic franchise and make a back-to-back movie a trilogy. Now, I don't know how they would pull it off, but I don't care. I want it. I fucking wants it. Ladies and gentlemen, after years of fans speculating and begging for a Sister Act 3, the film star Whoopi Goldberg revealed there's an effort to make the project happen. The musical-loving James Corden got the news out of Goldberg, who was a guest on CBS The Late Late Show with James Corden on Wednesday night. Corden told Goldberg, by the way, this is from CBS News, sorry. Corden told Goldberg, who joined the show virtually, that he watches Sister Act and its sequel whenever they are on TV and asked why Sister Act 3 hasn't happened. Because for a long time they kept saying no one wanted to see it, Goldberg said. And then, quite recently, it turns out that that may not be true. People might want to see it, so we're working diligently to try to figure out how to get the gang together and come back. Guys, can you imagine? It has been almost 30 years since the first Sister Act. The cast reunited in 2017 to perform a tribute to the film on The View, which Goldberg co-hosts. And the film was also turned into a musical. Guys, Sister Act 3 What the fuck?
Yes.
That would be so cool.
I would. I'm all for it. I'm super down. I loved Sister Act. Sister Act 2 was cool. Very enjoyable to get some new people in there, you know? Like with whole kids, like with having the kids do their little thing. But like Sister Act was just fantastic. It was really funny. And of course it's like, you know, it made Jesus cool.
It totally did.
Yeah. Like I was like, holy shit, I'd be down to be a Christian if I could get this. But
I'll donate to that roof fund. Hey.
Oh man.
So yeah, I mean and it's really interesting to see, because I'll put it this way. Sister Act 2, they went in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all about that specific congregation. She had basically moved on to other things like teaching children and the kids and all that stuff. Now, there's different ways they can go. I think, personally, they should go back the route of the first one. Focus it on the congregation again.
Mm-hmm.
All the sisters. And, you know, maybe they come up with something where the church is going to get sold again and they got to rally together. Whatever. But I'm also like intrigued to see if like what other ways they could go,
just dude, with loss that of to
make it entertainment. There is that. And it brings up a whole lot, because now like even in music, I'm starting to hear people reference like COVID and the pandemic. Now think of the programming and the shows and the movies that will now come to be. That revolve around the pandemic or COVID-19 or post COVID-19 or pandemic life.
Oh yeah, Shudder actually had a movie that was made specifically because of the pandemic. It was like Shudder is the horror movie specific streaming service.
Okay,
but it was called Host, and it was just like a bunch of friends who go on Zoom during the lockdown and like shit starts to get like there's an evil spirit. But that movie was made because COVID was happening, you know. Okay. And they all just did it through Zoom, which is really interesting.
Wow, hell yeah, damn. But Sister Act 3, a possibility, still in the talks. Obviously nothing's really in motion, it seems, but people want to do it. And in a lot of instances, and we've seen in recent years, actually, that is enough. That is enough. The Jay and Silent Bob reboot, the fucking Super Troopers 2. It's just on and on and on. Like, if people want something, they will find a way to do it. I wouldn't put it past them, past seeing, like, some sort of, like, what happened with Super Troopers. They do a GoFundMe where they raise the funds. And then just pay for it that way, you know?
Yeah, man. We've been seeing a revitalization of really popular stuff back in the day, you know, Bill and Ted as well.
There you go. Like,
it's been a interesting past 2 years.
which I still need to see.
It's a good movie.
Fucking A.
Station. Well,
hey, look out for that. Look out for more news on that. That's going to be great to follow and hear more about. But yeah, actually, I didn't even talk about this. I totally skipped over this, but we're going to talk about this briefly. Guys, The Boys Season 2 is over.
Asshole.
The Boys Season 2 is over, but unfortunately, my co-host, friends, and everybody else have not all seen it. It's terrible.
I'm sorry. I will get to it, I promise. I'll text you, I'll be like, got it, ready, sealed, done, and then we'll talk about it.
It's crazy.
Like a Patreon-only episode.
It's insane. So I found out that it is based off of a book. Or a comic, or what have you. Graphic novel, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is definitely some more in that story. And it just blows my mind, because just as crazy as they've gotten with the twists and the turns and the fucking building of each arc. Like, how is there more? How? It's shows like these that just blow my mind with the different directions and dots they connect and things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like after the second to last episode, I was just like, how now where are we going? Like how are they going to explain this and get to some sort of a proper like ending of a season?
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled it off, in my opinion. I'm excited. I saw someone comment on a friend's post about it saying, oh, they could easily do 3 more seasons. I agree.
Oh, I agree.
It's good. That statement about you saying this is the Watchmen series we didn't get that we all wanted. I agree. It is so good. And just like to see like, and I don't know if this gives anything away, but like just to see things go on, like almost go on back to normal. Like there absolutely is some sort of a ending of certain things and some resolutions, but it still leaves things so open, especially the very end of the episode, which completely lines up what's going to be happening next and who is behind some of the stuff that's been going on. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Homelander has his balls in a vice. Oh my gosh. I just don't know. Black Noir's allergic to tree nuts. Just going to put that out there. That doesn't really give away much except for his allergy. you find that out. He's allergic to tree nuts. And, it's fucking nuts. It is fucking nuts. And the way that they really tied some things together, they tied certain moments in a lot of, like, this arc this season and some of the shit we found out about certain characters and whatnot into, like, topics that are hot today, like, very talked about, very fucking like just crazy and heated, like race and stuff like that, like really slaps you across the face. And I was kind of impressed at how they kind of tied a lot of these social issues and the social commentary into the show, and man, it was just crazy to watch. I highly recommend it, guys. The Boys season 2 was just off the chain.
Off the chain.
Hurry up and fucking watch it.
God. Sorry.
You and Digby and everybody out there, hurry up and fucking watch it so I can
There's
talk about
much
it.
Going
you guys make
on,
people
man.
Like me
There's
miserable.
So
I want to talk about it, and
so
I can't.
Shows.
Because I'm a little baby.
So much fucking content out there,
this is
man.
True. This is true, because now I'm going to pass it on over to Danny to talk about all the fucking content he's been watching, because he has been busy, ladies and gentlemen. He has been busy watching some shit. Take it over, Danny.
Just sit on my ass and
watch
stuff.
Fucking anime is dope as shit out there right now?
All
right.
For all my anime heads, because I know there's a lot of you. I actually don't know that. But
I feel like the number's grown over the years.
Yeah. So fall is upon us, which means brand new anime. So the kind of struggle you have to go through towards the beginning to pick which animes you're going to follow. So I've been watching pretty much a ton. One of them being, God of High School is over. We got our last episode and it was amazing. Oh God, I can't wait for more God of High School. So we got to wait for that. of course, one of the newest animes that people are really hyped about, and I'm far behind, like I'm behind the hype now that God of High School is over, is called Jujutsu Kaisen. It's like these high schoolers, which is pretty much the basis of all animes. It's all about these dudes who study jujutsu, but they're also like curse hunters. So they find curses in Tokyo that are like killing people, and then they of course like handle it or seal them or keep them away from the general public. So this dude eats a cursed finger of one of the most notorious like demons ever, okay, and he like can control it. And so like everybody's like, this dude's dope, we need to keep him. And so now he's gonna go around with these high schoolers and stop these curses from happening.
Oh, shit.
And stop these demons. And it has dope fight scenes and it's really intense. It's a horror anime, so for people who like horror, there hasn't been a lot lately, so this is definitely up your alley. I've been watching Moriarty the Patriot, which is based off of Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes, if you guys don't know. And so it goes through him trying to take down the class system, another horror anime, actually.
Hell yeah.
It's very bloody and murderous. It's great. Other than that, Inuyasha is back.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so it's the daughters of Inuyasha. And it just goes off to their journeys of them being, you know, half demon princesses. But you get a couple of recurring characters. There's only two episodes out right now. So you will see some familiar faces for sure. I think I only like it because Inuyasha, but because I loved Inuyasha back in the day. But yeah, those are just the three animes that I've caught up with. There's like five others that I need to watch.
Okay.
Started Dragon Ball Super with Alicia. We're loving it. It's dope. It's fancy. You know, it's great.
I gotta do the same.
For normal shows, I have to watch that episode of Lovecraft Country, but there's only two episodes left. God damn. I'm getting the book because I want to read it and just compare like the show to the book. But if Lovecraft Country is amazing, I don't care what anybody says. I don't remember her name, but your friend from when you were recording with Digby.
Oh, fuck it. Gwen.
Gwen. Yeah, Gwen. I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about. This show is pretty great. So, but I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinions. So, I love Lovecraft Country. It's just this big set piece. And you know, it's great. And then the last show that I've been trying to catch up on is Ratched, actually.
Yes.
Which, fucked up, man.
It's very creepy.
It's disturbing for sure. It's cool to learn about some of the stuff I've only listened to in podcasts, like the transorbital lobotomy and like hydrotherapy and all that stuff they used to do in asylums. Like, but it is twisted. It is definitely American Horror Story vibes. If you liked American Horror Story,
which she was also in, right?
Yeah, Sarah Paulson was in most of the American Horror Story, so she plays the role perfectly here. And so, it's fantastic. I think it's great. I've got like five more episodes left. I'm just trying to get through, just fucking get through these shows so I can catch up. But it's just hard. And of course, I need to catch up on The Boys. Haunting of Bly Manor came out. I need to watch that.
Oh, fuck yeah. Same here.
Ugh. So it's just show after show after show, or like movie after movie after movie. And it's just like, it's a lot, man. We're getting a lot of content.
We are. I kind of want them to slow down.
Yeah, they need to slow down because it's a lot. Like, freaking Batman Death in the Family is out now. And it's like, can't keep up.
Shit, I'm so screwed.
Yeah, it's fucking Happy Halloween, Scooby-Doo, bro. Like,
first world problems. Oh, man.
Have you heard about the Happy Halloween Scooby-Doo movie?
No.
They team up with Bill Nye the Science Guy and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Wait, what? Like live action?
No, no, it's not live action. It's the animation, but it's actually Bill Nye and Elvira. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Matthew cool Lillard like comes back as Shaggy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Shaggy, the ultimate god.
Which we just watched 13 Ghosts with Matthew Lillard. And that movie was, I don't remember it being so corny. Have you seen 13
Ghosts? Yes, I have, dude. That movie is not as good as people claim it is.
I remember, and this is like a family thing, but Uncle Orty used to have that when he lived up on the apartment above Grandma. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He had that movie on VHS, and I would watch that movie every time I would go up there. And I remember just loving that movie. But I don't know. It was corny. I still liked it, of course. I thought it was an interesting concept, but it still is pretty corny.
It definitely is very corny. yeah. And I don't really like to watch it that much, to be honest.
Mm.
But a lot of people love it. A lot of people love it. It's on their list of favorites, so it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's going to do it for what we're watching, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. Movies and TV, guys, check it out. All those cool things that are coming up, and we will talk about them as soon as they come out and whatnot. It's just been very sad to see all the amazing movies that we should have been able to see by now be pushed back, and we didn't get to see them.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a big year. So
very big year, and I guess we'll wait. I wish they just did us this solid and just threw those movies on their streaming services.
No, when it comes down to it, these are businesses and they're greedy.
At least one of them, somehow.
Dude, you could pay $30 and watch Mulan.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Hey.
See, now that would probably work with those types of movies. With the Marvel franchise, that kind of deal would definitely work.
Yeah, like with DC, if they were like, you can watch Wonder Woman 84 if you just pay like $25, I'd been like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fucking A, man. Go. Moving on. So,
moving on up.
Okay, so you've heard it straight from Danny. Watch those animes. I definitely have to get caught up on Ratched.
Jujutsu Kaisen.
Assault Louis
what was
Bouquet.
The other one? Moriarty the Patriot. Watch those two, at least, for this season.
Okay.
And Inuyasha, if you're a fan of Inuyasha. It's called Yashahime.
So, music. There's some things going on with music. A single that I found out about last minute, and a few albums that I quite enjoyed. Let's start off with this. I'm going to play a song from one of my favorite artists. One of my favorite MCs right now, Benny the Butcher. Yes. Ah. This song is called Timeless. I do this for suffering children and checks from government buildings. A dope boy who made a check from other than Dylan. What a good feeling when they know you one in a million. Hey. It's bury half of my niggas under the building. Don't judge my life now, nigga, cause I've been mad stressed. On tour with the locks and had a project address. Before this rap shit, all my direct assets came from high risk hazards. You know, Pyrex glasses. A long way to the press. Bar. The time makes classic. I got lines from a year ago that y'all just catching. I thought small. These guys just continue to produce and release. There is no slowing down for Griselda Records at all. No,
it's the age of Griselda right now.
And I couldn't be happier. I don't think I'm able to be more impressed. They're handling merch. They're getting involved in all sorts of different types of other business. It's just crazy. And yeah, man. For hoes of fucking rich niggas, you get a rolly too. Cause if I'm up, bitch, we gon' shine together. I do this for my Lil Wayne, by the way. The moon is to the sun. I got more weapons than I'll ever need. I shoot you with each one. Talking cocaine out of Medellin. My hoe straight out the magazine. You drowning in the fire while I'm snorkeling in the gasoline. Steady. Lil Wayne and Big Sean on this one. Roller push you like Pirelli tires on Chevy trucks. But still a good year. They got every eye on each one of us. What nigga, look here. I come catch your ass on career day. And in your career, I got pistols. I just. Now, this song stirred up a little heat. Stirred up a little chatter, some rumors that Big Sean was sending a few shots at Kanye West, talking a little shit. And he's been speaking on Kanye West as of late. Now, let's see. There should be Oh my gosh. Computer is lagging right now. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. My,
It's Chrome.
It's being a freaking big Chrome. Bitch. Shit. Oh, let's see.
Ah, I do this for suffering children.
Whoops, sorry. The video was playing. Let's see. I am so sorry. There's no need to mince words here. This song is hard. Benny brings his usual Griselda grit right out the gate as he asks, what's a king to a god, and ponders living forever before Wayne rolls into his verse seamlessly and spitting in prime form. It makes sense now why Benny was keeping the news that Big Sean would be the final artist on the track under wraps, because he burst on the track and bodied it. Signed a slave deal. Now a brother up owning my masters. Watch me turn G-O-O-D into great. There's first steps to everything, even taking leaps of faith, Sean raps in the final verse. These lines are interesting, especially considering it's been a topic that's been in the news. Just a few weeks ago, Big Sean responded to one of Kanye West's tweets about giving all good music artists back the 50% share I have of their masters. It's too early to say if Sean's latest lines are directly referencing this, but it's curious to note. So yeah, I guess Kanye West claimed that he was going to give all the good artists back the 50% share he has of their masters.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he also said other things, though. Let me see. Jeez. I can't find anything. I don't even want to spend that much time on this. Oh, here we go. Okay, so Kanye West has been running rampant in the past few months. First in his journey to becoming the president of the United States, then he started going after major labels in an attempt to reform the music industry at large. In the midst of all this, Kanye faced backlash for his poor business handlings, especially among his signees. Big Sean, for example, recently revealed that he got a $15,000 advance for signing to Good Music. $15,000. On Sean's verse on Timeless, he raps about signing a slave deal to owning his masters, playing off of the name of Kanye's label. Signed a slave deal, now a brother up, owning my masters, watch me turn good into great. It's first steps to everything, even taking leaps of faith. Swear it's labels that's up B's that owe me M's, he raps. Charlamagne the God, who has been incredibly critical of Kanye West, recently claimed that Ye actually owes Sean upwards of $3 million.
Yeah.
So it came as no surprise that Charlamagne chimed in on Sean's latest verse on the Benny song. Those bars from Big Sean were clearly to Kanye West. I told y'all a couple weeks ago that Kanye owed Big Sean $3 million. I told y'all a couple weeks ago Kanye had Big Sean in a terrible deal where he gets half of Sean's profits and half of Sean's royalties. And Big Sean could have gotten his masters back, but Kanye said no, Charlamagne said. I told y'all you got to applaud Sean for his restraint. It got to be nuts to hear a man brag about being worth $5 billion as Kanye did yesterday, but he owes you $3 million. Got to be a crazy feeling to hear a man screaming about fighting to get folks back their masters, but won't give you back yours. Oof.
People are comparing Kanye to the new Birdman.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah, because he's pretty much doing the same thing.
That's freaking crazy, man.
I mean, where is Cash Money Records now? You know, like, he treated everyone terrible. That's why Young Money didn't do so well. That's why Lil Wayne doesn't really fuck with Birdman anymore. Like, yep.
All that went down. That's why all that went down.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
He was taking more.
It's so crazy, man. Oh. Well, Big Sean sent them shots. I wonder if Kanye West will respond. But, yeah. That's pretty crazy. And the track is dope. Wayne gets off, Benny gets off, Sean gets off. I've really been watching Big Sean as of late, and I've really been enjoying what he's been putting out.
That Lil Wayne verse was fantastic, I'd like to say. Where was that energy in Funeral? Where was that? Like, I don't get it. I don't get how these rappers can do amazing features and then just do poorly on their albums. I hated Funeral. I hated every second of it.
Yeah.
And then this verse, like, that he did with Benny, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, it doesn't even sound like Lil Wayne from what I've heard. But yeah. Jesus. Like, give me that Lil Wayne. Give me him.
Good track. Timeless. Benny the Butcher, Lil Wayne, Big Sean. Check it out.
Yeah, dope track.
Moving on, moving on. Well, that was our little tie-in to talk about a topic and cover a song. Going back to SNL, I want to talk about this real quick. Jack White gave a fucking dope performance on Saturday Night Live. Both performances were great. He was getting down. As I mentioned, Morgan Wallen was the previous appointed musical artist for last night's show. And they filled the slot and announced it on Friday that Jack White would do it. For those of you who don't know, Jack White was known for leading the White Stripes. And, yeah, he performed. Let's see. Unencumbered by new material to promote. Oh, wait, hold on. Though we're only two episodes into season 46, it's hard to imagine that White's return won't come out near the top when it's time to rank SNL's 2020 to 21 musical guests. Unencumbered by new material to promote, White cranked out a few scorching career highlights, including 2014 solo hit Lazaretto.
Ooh, it's a good song.
Or Lazaretto?
Lazaretto.
Lazaretto, which he performed with a guitar designed for him by the late Eddie Van Halen and uncorked a fantastic medley. That medley fused unexpected pieces in remarkable ways, kicking off with Don't Hurt Yourself, the song he co-wrote and performed on Beyoncé's Lemonade, before shifting into a version of the White Stripes' Ball and Biscuit that incorporated lyrics from Blind Willie Johnson's Jesus Is Coming Soon. So on 2 days' notice, we got an Eddie Van Halen tribute, Beyoncé, the White Stripes, a Jack White solo song, and Blind Willie Johnson. Not bad. Yeah, and they end this article. This is from NPR. It was the sort of performance SNL could stand to showcase more often, a veteran star without much to promote or prove, popping by with the sole objective of putting on the best show humanly possible. I absolutely fucking agree. That performance was great. Both performances, it was phenomenal. Dude, that drummer was getting down. That bassist was just grooving that whole time. They were in pocket. Man, it was great. It was a great performance. I was moving, man. I was in it. It was literally at like the same point, like maybe 15 seconds into the song, 20 seconds into the song, I'd hit the same, all right, here we go kind of moment. And it was just great to watch. I highly recommend it, guys.
I'm waiting for more Jack Gray. I'm waiting for more Jack White and Jack
Black.
Yes,
yes.
I want more of that. This is so cool.
Man, but Jack White, geez. Get to work on Jack Gray. What the hell?
Yeah, dude.
Come on, Jack
White. Jablinski ain't doing nothing. He's playing Red Dead Redemption right now.
Fucking let's do it, guys. Let's get another Jack Gray project going. Oh shit. Well, yeah, Jack White, guys, check it out. Definitely check it out. It was worth it, in my opinion. Phenomenal performance, man. It was good. Top of that, fucking Danny.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Kelly, new Blink 182.
The pop punk album of the decade, let me tell you.
Really?
No. Not at all. So
whack.
We kind of talked about it in the beginning, but yeah, Machine Gun Kelly released a pop punk album. It's called Tickets to My Downfall. And it's literally just, so it's the same cadence of Machine Gun Kelly singing. It doesn't change, which is a no-no in pop punk because you kind of want to be different in every single song.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, it's just him. He brought in some like weird features. Like he brought in Trippie Redd, Black Bear, Youngblood. But I will give it to him. He did bring in like Travis Barker, Burt McCracken from The Used. So he did have some pop punk cred. But it's just like, I like two songs, like from the entire album. It's an hour long, right?
Okay.
So I liked Bloody Valentine because it was on Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. And I could dig it. I digged how it was. Forget Me 2, he's not very good on the song, but Halsey is featured on that song. And I am all for a Halsey band with her as a singer.
Okay.
Like she was amazing. Like she's got that voice for like pop punk kind of just that vibe, man. And I really enjoyed that song. Other than that, the entire album was trash. he did a cover of Misery Business and he fucking spit on
what?
Paramore. And how dare him touch a Paramore song? And I spit on him. I was not digging it. It was sloppy. I don't know why Travis Barker agreed to it, but yeah, it's just it's the same song over and over and over, and it's just kind of boring, man. I don't know why he switched to pop punk. I don't know why. Ugh.
This is Misery Business, Travis Barker and Machine Gun Kelly.
I'm in the business of misery, let's take it from the top. She's got a body like an hourglass, it's ticking like a clock. It's a matter of time before we all run out.
Just really?
She was mine, he caught her by the mouth. I waited a long once, he finally set her free. I told her I couldn't lie, she was the only one for me. 2 weeks ago, he caught our fire, he's got it out for me.
You know the fucking song.
Ugh. It's disgusting. It's repulsive. I fucking hate it.
Well,
I fucking hate it. Play.
Nah.
No. Dude. Like, play Forget Me 2, it's track 5, but play a minute in when Halsey starts. Fuck Machine Gun Kelly. This isn't his album, right? This is trash. It's a bad Blink 182 ripoff.
You want me to forget you? Okay, forget me too. You tell me you hate me.
This is Machine Gun Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
Play at 108. That's what it should sound like.
Okay. Hey.
Halsey, listen to me. It's your boy Danko talking to you again.
It's your boy.
Make a band. Make a pop punk band. Do it. You can do it. I know you can. It's you're there. You got it. You got the talent. You can do it.
Ashley, you heard it here first.
Machine Gun Kelly, go back to something else. You can't go back to hip hop, obviously.
Yeah, bro, you got bitch slapped so hard by Eminem, you had to try. You had to move on to fucking pop punk.
I'm pretty sure the entire hip hop community, they just said, "Nah, G, we're good," and you're exiled. So try something different, you know. Fucking wow. What's his name? Go with William Shatner. Do an album with him. You know.
Oh my gosh. That'd be terrible.
They'd love you over there.
They absolutely would.
Yeah, but that's all I've been listening to.
Well, shit. I didn't check out it again. As expected, I did not check out all that I wanted to check out. I had a list of some stuff. I did get to some of the things. Most of the stuff I was really looking forward to, and I knew was going to hit it out of the park. And some that I was, wasn't too sure was going to get, and got something good, in my opinion. So let's start with some drum and bass, guys. Some drum and fucking bass. I announced 2 episodes ago that Sub Focus and Wilkinson were coming out with an album, and then they did, ladies and gentlemen, and I approve. Definitely some vibes. Varying vibes of and like different VPMs of drum and bass and that kind of just feel. An assortment of styles of drum and bass. I mean, it was great to see them collaborate and hear it. It was a great project. I'm going to play a track from it. This one's called Enter Night, Sub Focus and Wilkinson. And the album is called Portals. Pretty fly. This is my kind of vibe when it comes to drum and bass. It's just great to hear these two make something together like this. There was this other fucking song. Is it this one? Ooh. This one's called Turn the Lights Off. Hey. Hey. I like it a lot.
Ooh, it's very jammy.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad that I'm missing out on all the festivals that I was supposed to work. Just again, it's just reopening that wound. But it was great to listen to. I dug it as I did some errands around town. It was really good. Listened to it here at home as well. And I quite enjoyed it. Check it out. Portals, Sub Focus and Wilkinson. Great project. What else do we have going on here? A band that I have only heard about from friends. And when I saw their name pop up, I was like, you know what? I want to check that out. And damn it, I was not disappointed. Touche Amore. The band has an album that just came out called Lament, I believe. It is called Lament. Fuck it, play this one. This is Reminders. Hey!
Shotgun mouth and apathy.
That's Reminders by Touche Amore off of Lament.
I like it.
It's pretty great. I really enjoyed it. Check it out. 11 tracks, one feature, and that feature's with Manchester Orchestra. I love Manchester Orchestra. And it was great. It's a great little album. Highly recommend. Highly recommend. If you like that song, you're going to like the rest of the album for sure. And if you were like, eh, about that song, definitely give the rest of the album a try. Either way, it was great. Moving on, Bahamas. Okay, now this is one where I've seen Bahamas on, like, festival lineups. And I might have passed by or heard Bahamas on accident. But not paid too much attention. But when I saw the name pop up, I was like, you know what? I've seen that name around. I want to check it out. Well, Bahamas came out with this album called Sad Hunk. Sad Hunk. And I love the cover art. The cover photo is basically him, like, it's like almost like a school photo, sitting on a stool and smiling and taking a motherfucking school photo. I quite enjoyed this. It's got this like indie-ish, laid back, like almost Jack Johnson-y feel, and I vibed with it. I sat here and played Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And just listened to this album, and I enjoyed myself. I really did.
Hell yeah.
This song is called Own Alone. Bahamas.
Messages they sent me. Now that's assuming that they meant me. That just left me feeling empty. Things are changing now so quickly. I feel that history has picked me. I was a fool to think you'd miss me. Ain't it the truth or is it just me? Raise a glass now for everyone. All God's children under the sun.
Yeah.
Raise a glass now for only me. Cold and broken, lonely me. I'm on my own.
Yeah, that was Own Alone by Bahamas. Album Sad Hunk. This I quite enjoyed it. I listened to it before we recorded the show.
Alright.
Listened to it when I finished, threw on an episode of Archer. As soon as we finished the episode of Archer, I jumped on. So yeah, it was really good, guys. Check it out, Sad Hunk by Bahamas. Decent little album. Really vibed with it. Really laid back. It was great. Hell yeah. I think that's going to do it for music for me. Again, guys, if you want to have access to some of these songs that we put in a playlist, we put together playlists. That is basically features all of the songs that we talk about and feature in the entire episode. Like if we just play a song in the background for a specific little topic that we're talking about, that will be in there. Like any music that we play will be in that playlist. So you can refer back if you like, we're like, oh, I loved the music for that episode. Boom. You can hear some of that music. And to get that, you become a Patreon member. So consider it $5 a month.
We listen to music so you don't have to.
There you go. There you go. We'll do it for you. Live vicariously through us. I'm trying to get more motivated and be on the social media more, like more present on social media, like posting things about the music that we listen to and little like, you know, pictures and stuff about the topics and the articles and whatnot that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know what it is. My motivation for that has just been down. So I'm trying to motivate myself, guys, to get that going and, you know, kind of make the Instagram account more lively and have a place for you to get some resources from all those topics that we talk about. And I'm working on it, and I will get it on it, I promise. I fucking promise, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. Hell yeah. Well, that's going to do it, I think, Danny. Hey, you got anything else you want to tell the people?
Stay sane, stay healthy, be cool, watch anime. But I'm too
old to understand that selfie. That's it?
That's all I got.
I'm going to go with be happy. Don't force away what comes natural. Love yourself, love the people in your inner circle. Give people a chance. Give yourself a chance. And don't forget to spread joy and happiness around the world, people. But be critical and loud and an asshole to people who deserve it. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget to be an asshole to people who deserve it. They deserve it, so do it. Hey. Well, this has been a lovely episode again for the Chit Show Podcast. Make sure you follow us on social media, guys. Danny is at The Real Danko on Instagram. He is also on Twitch, where he does awesome streams of gaming. Twitch.tv/BulldozerDanko. That's Bulldozer Danko. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, all that, at IamDJBrute. And, of course, you can follow us, the Chit Show Podcast, on Instagram, at Chit Show Podcast. Again, that's at Chit Show Podcast. And, again, consider becoming a Patreon member. Danny, thank you, man. I love you. You're the best.
I love you, too.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
And again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for following us. And thank you all for supporting us. We will see you next week. See you, fuckers. Hey, love you all. Peace and love.